Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts you give us of life and for loving us and providing us with a Savior, Jesus Christ. God, show us how to love you. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. Well, we know that we're to love God and love our neighbor. It's better to read that. And I hope you do in Matthew 22:38. Well, life can be a lot going on in life. It is wonderful, and there is just all sorts of things happening. We are thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how God has provided us with a Savior. Let us have faith, and let us act on that faith. Well, I know how easy things can be in life, and I also know how tough things can be in life, or that complications can happen all over the place in life. It's just life. It goes on, and we deal with it. We learn it. We have good situations. We have loving situations. We have tough things going on. There's so many things, and we come to appreciate all the wonderful and fine things that there are in life. And the difficulties, we can appreciate those also, because they refine us, the difficulties define us, and they help us to understand things that are in our future. So we talk about things that are of concern, and we talk about blessings. We have them both. And I think last week, yes, I talked about things that were a concern that we need help with to understand, and we need wisdom, and we need to be spiritually and physically prepared. There are different ways to do it. I think of course, water, food, and warmth. I think of having a community that we deal with, that we depend on. We talk to people. We ask for help. I mean, it's the old concept of borrowing a cup of sugar from your neighbor. That's the beginning part of it, but it can develop into all sorts of things, and it might be with your church, it might be with your neighbors, it might be with your family. It's a matter of the choices we make and how we interact with people. So let's remember that God loves us, and we love God, and we love other people. And what do we need to help other people? I think of water, food, and warmth, and a community. Being a part of a community that can help other people in times of need or times of prayer, that's been a big one for me. I have benefited from that immensely. And that gets me to pray for other people because I see the results of prayer, and I'm so thankful. But there's other things that we will find handy to need. No, and I say water, food, and warmth because those are the basics of life. But I do think of having other things as well. Oh, like what? Like a flashlight, some small flashlight, an efficient low-light flashlight that will help us just a little bit. A knife or essential medical kit for first aid. Yeah, I mean, I think of a Band-Aid, but I think way beyond that. But what do you think of? Just remember that the basics can be important. Okay, a triple antibiotic ointment, gauze pads, and medical tape. Those are my very most basic items, and you can have all sorts of other things from fever-reducing pills to anti-diarrheal pills to... It's a matter of choice, but get things together for a first aid kit. And yes, for yours, you might have a spouse or children that you want a first aid kit for. And they don't have to be big. They can be really very small. And so you think of that when you are getting your things together. I will also so mention that I like the Victorinox, which is the Swiss Army knife, the littlest one. It's called the Classic model. And that has a blade, a nail clipper, and a scissors. That scissors has been so important for me in cutting things, whether it was something like your clothes or a bandage or to cut away a little skin that needs to be cut off. I mean, there's just all sorts of things, but you have to figure that out. The Swiss Classic model has a little tweezer, which, sure, it's not the best tweezer, but it'll do. It helps you pull a lot of things out, like splinters. If you really want a good splinter, you get a pair of tweezers that are needle nose tweezers, and they have a very pointed tweezer. And that is what you use when you have to get into a cut that has things in them. It's just very pointy. Oh, I remember when I first learned about that, I had a tick in me. And a part of that tick body was still in my skin. And a doctor helped get that small parts of the tick out with a pointed little tweezer. So I don't know what your... you can anticipate your needs to be. It's always different for everybody. But there's some things you're going to wish you had. So that's what I just described in my little first aid kit. But there's things for preparation that you can always choose to have or not to have. But at least you can have them available. If you don't want to use them, someone else can. I think of the clothes for a good defense of cold. A defense of the cold. Clothes is your first defense. To have warm clothes on, a warm coat, a cap that covers, especially one that covers your ears. Those are how we stay warm in cold times. So just think of that. Think of boots, extra socks, extra clothes in case they get wet. I mean, there's just a limit according to what your imagination says. There is no limit. It's a matter of what you choose. That's all. And so examine it. See what you think is most useful. The basic items, and then get them. Get your basic foods or snacks or something that you can have with you if you need something. Now, I don't know what you're preparing for. I don't know what I'm preparing for. All I know is there are a few things that come in really handy if you have a basic need. Like paper and pencil. You should write down what you do if you're giving somebody first aid. Write down when they had maybe a fever pill or whatever it is. You need to write those things down, because your mind gets full of so many things going on that you will wish you had written down the treatment that you had given the person. Oh, not to mention, you might have to tell somebody what you did, and they would write it down in their notes. Like if you take somebody to the hospital, they want to know what you did. And so you tell them. They're just things we might need. Plain old supplies. Just like you might need hand tools. Well, what hand tools are you going to need anyway? Are you going to need lubrication oil or gasoline? It's just a matter of you get to make a list of having duct tape on it or hammer and nails. It's just a matter of you decide and then you do it. Now remember, all the lists won't help you unless you do some of it. And everything is a matter of choice. And I'm concerned with the things coming around the planet that have been reported. A famine, for instance. Oh, well, read Matthew chapter 24. And that talks about the things that are coming. So what is going to happen? Is it going to be in your lifetime? There's a lot of people who think they're going to happen really soon. But who knows? I don't. I just know that it's not much trouble to have some of these things available for whatever it is, famine, epidemics, earthquakes, storms, or some other trials of war, or something else. Well, every one of us can have some really basic supplies, and that's what I hope that you do. If we do nothing, then we have consequences, and we don't know what they are. We don't know. But I was just looking at Ezekiel, chapter 33, they both talk about being a watchman and telling people about what's going on. And that's something you might feel the need to do. I do, and I try to do it. I know there's another part of Ezekiel that really gets me sometime, 14:13, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13. It talks about when a land trespasses grievously against God, that God will break the staff of bread from off that land, and famine will come. So, are we trespassing against God? It sure seems like it when we are making the things that God says not to do, and we are making them legal. I think that's a trespass against God. So what's God going to do? He just told us. He's going to cut off the staff of life, which is bread. Are we going to have famine? Are we going to have our crops fail? Are we going to do that ourselves and say, you can't grow this or you have to grow that? Well, there's a lot going on, and all these things are a consideration for what is actually going on. We're having the bird flu going around, and we're killing millions of birds, as in chickens and turkeys. And many of them are the egg chickens. I'm just seeming to remember it was 1.5 million egg-laying chickens. Anyway, this is going on. You want the exact numbers? You can look them up. It's not hard to look up. But the point is it's huge. So many chickens and turkeys are being killed because they have bird flu. Now, maybe only one out of 20 or 50 of those chickens or turkeys have bird flu. But they are all getting killed so that the chicken growers can get their tax write-off for having disposed of all those birds. These things are going on right now. Will we have famine in the land? I don't know about that one, but we're taking steps so that it causes hunger. Will it be famine? It sure could be. Let's see, last week I talked about the wheat crop of winter wheat in China and in Canada and in the United States being about 35% of normal. So there's just things that are going on that could pause, hunger. Yes, in the United States. Yes, in the world. It's going on all over. And so we want to do something about that, and that means to have a supply of food. It's written in many places in the Bible. And we are, I just did that Ezekiel 13:14. Did I say that right? 14:13. And that talks about if a land sins grievously against God, that he will break off the staff of bread, which is hunger, which is starvation. Will it happen to the United States? It could. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So you get to look at that and figure out your position if he has really said that, because it there's examples to show that he says this and that. And how does it take place? How does it work itself into our life? That's another question. But it's something that we all can look at and decide what we are going to do about it. What are you going to do about hunger? I remember there were campaigns to stop world hunger, and that really meant to contribute money. Well, if we're going to have a bit of hunger in the United States, what are we going to do? Is it going to affect us? Well, it might. It just might. And we should just pay attention to that. There's things that are being said about this is about the conflict that there is between good and evil, between God and Satan. And there's different ways to have these things understood. One of them, I think, is John 10:10, where it says we live in the world where evil wants to steal from us, wants to hurt us and destroy us, kill us and destroy us. So that's things that we can realize is a real part of the world in which we live. And I think of how do we deal with it? We deal with it like Matthew 10:16 says, that we are sheep in the midst of wolves. We are not wolves in the midst of wolves. We are sheep in the midst of wolves. So we have to be careful in how we deal with the people around us. I know another passage there, right there. It says, to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. How do we do that when we're surrounded by wolves? I don't mean it's easy. I just mean it says it. And we have a good mind, every one of us. And we can figure out how to be faithful to God and to do what he says in ways that we wouldn't normally think about. But we have the situations that are really coming about in front of us, and we get to figure out, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to act? Well, it's something that we have direction and even commandments about what to do. As a Christ follower, it tells us what to do, and then we have to figure out how to apply it. And after all, we have a good brain. God gave us a brain, a good brain, and we get to see how we're going to interact with the world when it is when we are as in the midst of wolves. I mean, that's not easy. How are we going to live when we have those forces against us? We have evil against us that want to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us. That's what the evil wants to do. Now, how are we going to do what God tells us to do? Sometime we have to think about it. Sometime we have to figure it out in a way that is sensible. It might be the only way we can think about it. But what it really also is a way for us to use the intellectual mind that God gave us and how to live according to God's will and ways, and how to be faithful and get the things that we also need to live in this world. We have people we love that we are to look after. We are to understand that this is the world, and we're to understand how to get what is needed for the people we love, maybe even for us. And how do you get that? How do you make it happen? Sometime you have to have a thought. Sometime you have to have a plan. And sometimes you can't just do what you feel like. In fact, that's about most of the time. You cannot just do what you feel like. You have to be smart about it. Well, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and the world around us wants us to, well, all sorts of things, but if you look at what Satan wants, there's that example, to steal, kill, and destroy us in every way. So we get to figure out how to live as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Not easy, but if we put our mind to the problem and our prayer to our Father, God in heaven, we can get blessings of understanding, and we can make things get figured out. Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of things that confront us, from the society to big business. Big business, they're to help us, right? Isn't that what they're here for? And government. Government is here to protect us, right? Well, I think that might be a part of the deception that we are living with right now. There's a lot of deception. And I think of Anthony Fauci, who also has had an element of deception to how he has testified in front of Congress. And there have been secret information that has come out with his emails. Secret, I mean, well, yeah, it was hidden. It was not brought out, and then somebody made a lawsuit to make his emails public. And that included things that were going on with some of his fellow scientists and researchers. That was things going on with the National Institute of Health, with their Wuhan biolab in China. Level 4 biolab, which is hugely working with dangerous substances. So all these things we are now discovering with Fauci because of the Judicial Watch lawsuit by Tom Fenton. And that legal action caused emails to be released between Fauci and other people. Now, this first came out about a year ago, and so the emails were released, but those emails were redacted. That's the word. They were redacted, and that means blacked out. So you couldn't even read the emails. Some of them had whole pages blocked out, half pages, quarter pages, several pages. So, yes, the emails were released like about a year ago, but with that much blocked out, you couldn't even tell what some of them were about. So there was a legal action taken again to make those emails public, and it did get rather public. And there was the emails reflected some of the research that was going on, especially in 2017. That seems to be kind of a pivotal year before the COVID turned into a real crisis. It was still being examined and looked at, and there was a discussion, yes, of Wuhan BioLevel 4 laboratory, what was going on there. There was information about mixing of viruses, specifically the COVID virus and the SARS virus, how these were being mixed, and I don't mean they just put them together. I mean they were mixing them with the electronic microscopes so that they could see what was specifically in the viruses and make strings of proteins that were not natural to nature. It was something that was created and produced. And that is why a number of the scientists said early on that COVID could not have occurred naturally. They said it had to have been a lab creation because of the sequence of the viruses that were in their chain of, well, let's call it reproduction when they reproduce themselves. Okay. Well, the point is that it was a lab creation according to some scientists. Now, the scientists are all getting their research money from grants. And so that makes very many of the scientists unwilling to say something that would upset the people who give out the grants. And what that means is the information that we get might not be completely accurate. And that's something to look at as a possibility. And these redacted emails that were, the lawsuit was made over them, and then they came out unredacted, that's something that, well, it doesn't look good at all. It doesn't look good at all, and that's something that we, the people in America, have to be concerned about when we see Fauci and the other researchers talking about how they're going to handle this, or to limit the information that was available to the public, or even the research community. So these were the things that were talked about in the emails, and again, indicators. It's showing forethought to what they're going to do if this really gets out of hand. How are we going to deal with a COVID virus that causes huge problems? And we can see that there is a certain, what would you call it? Fauci wanted to keep some things a secret. And that is what I can see from these emails. You can look them up too. Everybody can look up this information. It takes a little bit of work, but we all can do it. And if you don't do it, then you remain with limited information. But if you get more information, it gets worrisome and tiresome. It's no fun to look up all these things. But somebody has to do it. And are you going to believe somebody else? Or are you going to look up the information yourself? I mean, do you look up the Bible information yourself? Or do you let somebody else tell you what the Bible says? It's pretty dangerous to just believe somebody else, because not that they want to intentionally mislead you. Maybe they do. But the thing is, it's easy for somebody to have an understanding, and they tell you their understanding instead of the research facts. That's why you want to look at these things yourself. Now, there have been consequences from this virus that just don't get talked about. A lot of things don't get talked about. I think of the Dr. John Campbell out of England, and he reports, for instance, on the number of excess deaths. There's statistics that our government keeps and tells us about. Now, excess deaths, what that relates to is in a normal situation, there are so many people who die every year. This is normal. It's well known how many people are going to have car accidents, how many people are going to die in a swimming accident or whatever it is, struck by lightning, have an electric fire. These are well-established and known statistics. So this thing about the excess deaths means when you anticipate the normal deaths by normal causes of deaths, Those are normal. But if you have excess deaths, that is abnormal. And why does the United States have 10 or 15% excess deaths? Why does England have about 15% excess deaths? Why does Germany have 19% excess deaths? And there was a country next to Germany. Austria or Czechoslovakia, I forgot which, they were up to 23% excess deaths. So these are the things that just, you have to ask why if you're going to be a curious person and try to understand what is true. So you have to look up that information and try to understand what is going on. And of course, the things that changed at that period of time, like 2021, was the vaccine. That was the big thing that happened to society that would cause people to die. And I'm sure you're familiar that nobody wanted to say that COVID vaccines caused any deaths at all. But these are the statistics that indicate that the COVID vaccine was causing deaths. Now, that's still pretty new information, and there have not been any scientific research done on this to see if that was really true. But it's something that is being examined by a few people, just a few. And we get to see, will it be true or not? And so what does a smart, wise person do when they realize that these are dangers that are killing people? They try to figure out what is killing people so that they don't have that problem. And so the wise people have been asking, what is that problem ahead? And how can I avoid it? Well, the big thing that was going on at that time frame was the vaccine of so many people. Was that causing people to be dead? Was it causing them to be injured in their body? There still are not the direct studies, and we need those. But there are the circumstantial circumstances that make you think that, oh, yeah, it looks like it's the vaccine. And I just want to say, if you want to look into that a bit, that Dr. John Campbell has had numerous tapes for the last year, and they're on YouTube, and they have a discussion about how this could be or if it is. That's something that if you want to know, if you want to search out the truth, that's what you do. You look at them and try to figure out what is being withheld from you. And we all know that there is a devil in the world that wants to hold stuff in secret so that you don't know it, and that therefore you will be harmed by what you don't know. I think of that Ephesians 6:11. It's said very often. I've said it plenty of times. To put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles, which means the strategies of the devil. So that's what I would say, just plain and simple, is to stand, put on the armor of God so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I think the first thing to do is to guard your mind and keep your mind full of thoughts of God, serving God, loving God, having God love you. I think that's the first thing you do. And then you do things that are wise. Is it wise to, well, if the shot is the thing, the vax, then you want to avoid the vax. And if you haven't, then you want to live in a way that anticipates the problems that could happen. So many people do not have the problem, but there are a few that do. Are you going to be among them? It's possible. Remember last year there was the football player who suddenly died? He and there's that video called Suddenly Died. And these are people that just fall over with a great big effect. The football player lived, but there's many, many people who don't live. They just fall over and they die and that's it. And these are healthy people, athletes, airplane pilots. And there again, it looks like the cause is the vaccination. So is it reasonable to look at it? Who else agrees with that? What do they say? Well, we want to make a wise and informed decision. And that means you have to look for yourself to try to understand this. That's just what you do. We all do this. We all have to seek more information, because if we believed what we believed when we were five, we would be very different today. Did you learn anything between the ages of 5 and 10? Yeah, you did. How about between 10 and 15? Yeah, you did. And now we are wise enough to know that it's good to pray for understanding. Oh, and protection. When you're looking at the spiritual things, oh, for instance, why you want to live a certain way, that is, following the biblical principles. And so you find people and stories and maybe books and articles that talk about that. That's something we do as people. We all do it. You do it. I do it. And maybe we need to do that with this COVID vaccine, because it does not get examined the way it should if all these deaths really are attributed to it. And you know how we're going to learn if it is or if it's not? We're going to do studies, independent studies. And that is what we do, to try to understand, to try to figure out how we can live the best life we can. And that's a part of being a part of a community, a part of a family, or a part of a church family. It's a part of what we do as we learn how to love our neighbor and for our neighbor to love us. And that's always a goal of what we want to do. So in your prayers, ask these things of Jesus. Talk with him. They're free. It doesn't cost you anything except to know Jesus. Are you willing to put a little time in prayer, and put a little time in reading God's word about what Jesus said and did while he was on earth? This is what we do. When we want something, we show that we want it by how we act. And while it's true that salvation is a gift from God of his grace, it's also what we do to show it to God, not as a condition, but as a matter of loving God. God loves us, we love God. So what are we going to do to demonstrate that love? Well, usually we do something. It's up to you, because I wouldn't tell anybody what to do or not do, but I would talk about the possibilities. There's many different ways we can show our love. And trying to seek the truth about this vaccine is a part of love too. That's what I see. How are we loving people? By telling them about the possible good things and bad things about the vaccine or about COVID, and what are our benefits? What are our risks? That's something every one of us has to do It has been going on since the beginning of civilization. From the time there were first laws, we learned that there are some things that we want to do and some things that we don't want to do. Speaking of the first civilizations and laws, I think the first one that I'm aware of is the Code of Hammurabi, which was written on a stone, and it's preserved for what the laws were at that time. Now, most of them had to do with commerce, their crops, and if they were going to sell it, or if they lost some of it, or if somebody stole a crop, or how you, there was also parts about how you deal with your wife and children. Early understanding of what law should be. Now, that's something that I just bring up to say it's been a question for all this time. Not that we should have any personal interest in it. It's just a matter of happening. It did happen, more than 2,000 years ago. I think that was about 500 B.C. Yeah, maybe it was 300 B.C. Maybe it was 600 B.C. But it was a long time ago that Code of Hammurabi came into existence. See, men have always, and that was a creation of man. It's not a matter of the Ten Commandments. It's not something that was written by God and given to man. It was a man thing to other men. Somehow, we have to search all this information out and see how it is relevant to us today. What are we going to do about it? Is it really something we want to learn more about? Well, if you're interested, certainly. If it matters to you, yes, certainly. And that's a matter of personal choice. But the more we know, the more we're able to understand and speak that understanding. And that's why we study. We study God's Word primarily. And that is full of understanding. It's full of circumstances. It's full of people trying to understand what to do and how to do it. Oh, there's good things going on. But a part of it is we have to be submitted to God. Say, yes, Lord, I will do this, or I will not do the things that are sinning against you. Now, with all the things going on in our nation that are sinful, we do have to think about, I would say repenting. Changing our behavior. That's what repenting is. You see, I think of Jonah and Nineveh. Jonah, who was swallowed by a big fish, very well could have been a whale, and then he was spit up on the shore of Nineveh. And Nineveh was a very, very large city. God told Jonah, go pray to Nineveh. And God said that there was children in Nineveh that did not know their left hand from their right. Young children, very many. God wanted to see those children grow up and hopefully turn to God to be the savior of those children. Now, it talks about is Jonah knowing that the Ninevites were fierce people, and Jonah didn't especially want them saved because they had been so fierce upon his people and other people. They were cruel people, but the word of God came to the people of Nineveh, and Nineveh repented. They changed their ideas and their thoughts, and they got some years of life where they could be a family, where they could love each other, where they could be a country. They got more years of life. Was it two generations, I think? Because they turned to God. They changed their ways. They repented. And so that's something we always have a hope for, even today, with all the laws that we are passing, with all the sinful things that America is practicing, things that are not of God, and yet America is doing them. So can we change? Of course we can. Now let's do a little change and let's call on people to change and see what the results can be for if we can have a few more generations in America and not be destroyed, like in Revelation chapter 18, where in 1 hour Babylon was destroyed. Now, what Babylon are they talking about? A lot of people say the mystery Babylon, and that's what I think. It's not the physical Babylon in Iran. It just makes sense that it's the spiritual Babylon, and this has been debated for so long. It still is debated. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean anyone else is right or wrong. It's just a matter of discussion for how we can understand Mystery Babylon, and the Bible tells us what's going to happen. In 1 hour, it will be destroyed. So, let's hope that we can change our country and enjoy a few more generations of life in America. Or do we want to be judged? It's something that we all can consider and try to understand what we are going to do about it. And that's the thing. We have to do something about it. There are many ways that we can just be destroyed from viruses, you know, epidemics, or the things of Matthew chapter 24, which was wars, rumors of wars, plagues, and famine, and earthquakes, and more. So there's lots of things that are going to come our way according to Scripture. So let's try to avoid those catastrophes, and therefore we need to repent. Yes, repent each one of us. We're not having the thoughts that we used to have, not having things come up in our life where we respond to them in a way that accelerates sin, which is what God says not to do. Don't do these sinful things. But America is doing them and making them legal. And that makes me think that we as a country are going to be judged. And when? Well, let's see, last week I talked about the Euphrates River drying up and that the kings of the East would cross the Euphrates River on dry ground. Now, that was something that would just not believe for probably 1,000 years. I mean, nobody believed the Euphrates River could dry up, but it has. In the last year, the Euphrates River has run dry and the water has gone into the ground. So, is it time for the kings of the East to come out? Is it time for the angels that were chained under the Euphrates River? Is it time for the angels to be released and bring the plagues of Revelation to the world? It might be. It may very well be time right now. Maybe we have a few years to go before that happens. But the point of that is that we can do something about it. We can change our behavior and to tell other people about how they can change their behavior to be good and godly people. Good people according to God. It's in there. It's in the Bible. How do we do that? We understand it and we seek the words, and that's what we do as our first steps. Now, that's right. I was talking about the COVID virus and how I don't know that I want to go into this now. But the gene sequences for COVID were similar to the ones of HIV. And that is HIV-120 and COVID-19. So these were things that show that these were done in a research laboratory and putting genes and amino acids together that would not fit together naturally. Yes, let's see. As I recall, there was a sequence of eight amino acids, and some of them were outside of the spike protein that would have been normal for them to be staying or living in, but they weren't. So all these things is going on, and we get to figure out, how did this happen? What does it mean? What does it mean? And does that mean it's getting close to the end? Does that mean we're going to see the things in Revelation? Chapter 18, chapter 12. Are we going to have the beast system coming around rather soon? It's looking like that. But it's still not a matter of this is proven. This is sure to happen. It is, because it's in the Bible. But it still does not mean we know the sequences that it to occur, and we don't know the date that it will occur. So with all these things going on, we want to be sure to have a close relation with God, Jesus. And that means we pray, we ask God for help and for showing us what to do, and asking for forgiveness for our sins, and then repenting of them, which means to turn from them and not do them anymore. So that's the things that are kind of going on in the world today. We have two sides of it. One is the things that are going together to cause, well, I think of it as the beast system. The beast system is coming about because that is what influential, you call them important people. It's not a good word that I like, but it's understood who these great, big, important people are in the world, and because they get listened to and followed. So that's something that is going on now that we get to see, and how we react to it, and are we going to stand by God or stand by man? Who do you believe, by the way? Do you believe God with his natural immunity, or do you believe the scientists that tell you that you need the COVID vaccine to keep you from getting COVID? I don't know, what's it going to take for you to make your decision and see who you're going to follow? I think that's one of the elements that are going on with this COVID vaccine. Of course, it's not something that we just know plain and simple. It's just that that's a direction that I could see as logical. And so what are we doing? Who are you following? Are you following God, or are you following the science? Trust God or trust the science? Well, I guess we all make that individual choice. It is up to you. I know I will trust God. I will trust the body that God gave me. I will trust this life for me to have the independence of my mind and thought so that I can discern what is of God and what is not of God. Of course, we all do that individually. Probably we all make mistakes, and probably we get consequences from those mistakes. I don't think it means we lose our salvation. It just means we have problems in our life because of what we allowed or chose. So, do a little work on this. Seek this out. Search it out and find out what you would identify or understand as parts of the problem. Or whatever. What do you understand is squirted into your body through that injector, a shot? What gets inserted or squirted into your body? Do you know what it is? Well, I know I've looked. It's for a regular person, for me, it's not easy to find out what those things are. They have scientific names very often. But when you look up everything you don't understand, you see that vaccines are grown on tissues that were kept alive from babies born 30 years ago and then aborted. They were kept alive with all the solutions that they use, and then they have something they grow on those, whatever it is, liver tissue, maybe a lung tissue, maybe a chicken embryo, maybe a cow, part of a cow, and that they cut out and they grow it on, or use those enzymes in, and then they mix it all up, and they say, here, this is your vaccine, and we're going to squirt it into your body, and you're not going to catch whatever it is, the cowpox or whatever it is, or polio. Do you believe that? I probably believe it, but it's not perfect. And so our bodies are made by God, and our bodies are perfect. Our mind is made by God, and we choose to follow God or follow things of the world. We all make choices, and we are judged for our mental thinkings and choices. It says that adultery is, yes, it's done with the body, but it starts in the head, in the brain. And so God would judge people who have the thoughts. Now, I don't know what the judgments are. That's another question. But it is something that is in the Bible pretty strongly indicated, that we're going to have consequences, not just for what we do, but for what we think. That gave me a little too many thinkings. But the point of it is I would rather trust God than trust the scientists. I think that's really what I want to say. So I'm always grateful that you listen to the broadcast and listen online. If you want to any past broadcast, you just go to www.christtoday.org, look for where it says John Stephenson, and you can mail me a question or something, or a donation. Sure, those are always welcome. And they can be a little one or a big one. Everything helps to keep the broadcasts going. So thank you for anything that you pray for me about. I appreciate all prayer. And if you have a prayer request, you can send that to me, and I will keep it in my area for prayer. So I'll pray for those things that you send me. Oh, and that includes a donation. Okay. But anyway, write me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I hope that you will keep God's will and His ways as you walk with God, and as God walks with you. God bless you. See you.